Phil Steele joining us.
Do you know Phil Steele?
If it's not football, I don't know anything about it.
Okay. Do you play? Do you do anything, or is football your hobby in addition to making it your job, your vocation, and your avocation?
If you talk to my wife, it's pretty much football. 20, about 100 hours a week during the season, 100 hours a week during magazine season.
Well, Phil Steele's college football preview is, I would say, probably the gold standard for college football.
Yeah, I definitely would agree.
Like ourselves, and I would say too. I remember coming here in 98, and my buddies told me about it. I guess I didn't follow it as closely, mostly because, Phil, I went to Iowa State, and they don't play much football up there. But you've always been, I think, and I think not biased, but I think appropriately so. Arkansas has had a good run since I've been here. But you're pretty kind to Arkansas generally. But, you know, again, a lot of that's been earned, I would say, certainly.
Yeah, and there's been years where I remember they had been to two straight New Year's Day bowls, and I picked them to have a losing record the next year. So I have had a pretty good pulse on Arkansas, and Arkansas has performed pretty much my expectations throughout the years.
Well, one of the basic questions for people who cover college football is how much has your position on Arkansas changed since the departure of Bobby Petrino and John L. Smith coming to town, or back to town?
I think it did change a lot as far as when I was looking at Arkansas back in January and February and putting down my preliminary power ratings on the teams. Started looking at the numbers, and I'm saying I might just pick Arkansas to win the SEC West this year. They've got the bulk of the offense back. Tyler Wilson. They get a guy like Nile Davis back at the running back spot, who missed all of last year. I think that's a large upgrade. Last year's leading rusher Dennis Johnson only had 670 yards. They do lose some outstanding receivers, but I like the talent there. The offensive line looks solid, and defensively, you know, it wasn't a stellar defense last year. 363 yards per game. I look for improvement on the defensive side as well. And the special teams, I rate number 6 in the country. So getting LSU at home, remember they led LSU 14-0 at one point last year. Getting Alabama at home, I thought I may just pick them to win the West. But that all went out the window when the Bobby Petrino situation happened. I thought he was an excellent play caller. And I really liked the way that with the game plan, and I just think it's going to be a little bit different. I understand the coordinators are the same. His brother's there as the offense coordinator. I just hope there's not too many decisions for John L. Smith to make there. And I have him as a strong team. I rate him the number 11 in my power poll, number 16 overall. They do play a tough schedule, but it did probably take him from my pick to win the SEC West to a team that's very, very good, going to have a good season, top 16, but not quite national title contender.
Can you in any way tell how many wins a coach is good for during a season, if you can? What's the number without Petrino?
Well, I'm looking at Arkansas probably about 9 wins this year, possibly 10. A lot's going to depend on that LSU game at the end of the year. They've got 3 toss-up games on the schedule. I have an underdog in 2 games this year. I have them against home against Alabama, slight underdog, and at South Carolina, slight underdog. I've got 3 toss-up games on the schedule where they travel to face Texas A&M, Auburn, and then, of course, LSU in the season final. And I think LSU is a winnable game. If you've watched the LSU-Arkansas series prior to last year, they generally come down to the wire, and it's decided by 3 or less points at the end of the game. And I think Arkansas has got the potential to get to 9, possibly 10 wins this year, if everything goes their way. But I think with Petrino as the head man, I'd be saying that they're looking at 10, 11, or 12 wins this year.
Wow, that's a difference possibly of 3 wins based on just one head coach.
Yeah, and we've talked to other guys. There's a guy that does a college football matrix, I guess is his website, and he sort of looks at coaches' impact on his team's outcome, and he had Petrino at the top of the list as far as guys impacting in a positive way their teams. Would you have said the same, or do you think there's something that maybe impacts his team more when you look at the amount of talent he has on the field versus what the results of the team are?
Well, my coach of the year last year was Bill Snyder, and I think when you look at the talent that Bill Snyder had to get 10 wins out of that group and upset as many teams as they did during the course of the year, if I'm on the opposing sideline, I do not want to have Bill Snyder standing on the other sideline having to try to outwit him.
So I promise you. Yeah, we saw it up close and personal in the Cotton Bowl, and we're like, how did this team win enough games to get here?
Yeah.
I mean, with all due respect to their quarterback, I mean, Arkansas had probably 3 kids on the roster that threw it better. I mean, that's incredible. That's a great pick.
Yeah, and so he would be up there, but I would have put Petrino in the top 10, no doubt.
Phil Still joining us in the zone. And for those of you who've been sleeping under a rock, Phil Still's college football preview is a staple for most of us. PhilStill.com is the website. I was going to ask you a little bit about your background, Phil, and how you got into this. I guess ever since I've been, you know, reading preview magazines, you've always had one there. So how did you start out? What's your background?
Well, way back in 1982, I started writing a football newsletter and spent a lot of time on football, probably about 50, 60 hours a week doing football year-round. And then about 18 years ago, I started a magazine because I compile all the stats. I've got a staff of about 25 people that work for me right now, and we just follow every play of every game, and I've got 12 TVs in front of me. And it's just been a passion of mine since I was young, and I got into the business very young at 22, and now it's about, I think it's almost 30 years now that I've been doing it.
Well, congratulations on your success. Let me ask you about the defensive staff, and you talked about Arkansas. We expect to be a little bit better on that side. We got a little bit of a preview in the Cotton Bowl with the defensive staff coming in ahead of that game. How much of an impact do you think those guys that Arkansas got from Ohio State make? And how much, I guess, did you know about them? How much were they on your radar before they came to Arkansas?
I think they're going to do well. You look at Paul Haynes. He was at Ohio State. He was the DB coach for 6 years and, of course, their co-defensive coordinator last year. Tarver Johnson steps in and handled the spring role during the spring practices. I thought he did well there. I think both those guys are going to look pretty good this year because, frankly, Arkansas's defense got beat up a little bit last year. Remember when Biquette went out of the games? It really seemed like it was a different defense in that middle part of the year. They gave up 38 to Bama, 38 to Texas A&M, and then it got better as the season went on. Now, the 41 against LSU wasn't a stellar moment, 494 yards offense in that game. But I think when you look at the talent Arkansas has on defense, they're better than 363 yards per game. So I think the new coordinators will come in and do well.
I'm sure you've been following closely the playoff discussion, and now there's talk of, you know, the 4-team playoff, and the SEC coaches just had their meetings, and they're saying we want the four best teams, which everybody understands why that is. And now there are a couple other conferences that have stepped up and said, yeah, four best teams make sense, and they want to keep the conference championship caveat out of it. What are your thoughts on the playoff?
Well, it's the same thoughts I've had for 12 years now in the magazine. I've written the article, and it looks like it finally might be coming to fruition, and that is I feel it clearly has to be 1-4, 2-3, and then let the winners play off for the true national title game. And I love the college football regular season. I think it's the most important of any regular season, college or pro, any sport, because you can slip up one game in September and it'll take you out of the national title game. One game in October, one game in November. All the games are very important. I love the bowls as well. I think it's a great reward for many of the teams. And really, if you look at the BCS and you go back over the last 12, 13, 14 years, there's only been one, possibly 2 years, where you can go deeper than the number three team that has a legitimate claim to playing in the national title game. So I think as long as you get that third team in there, you know, if there was three unbeaten at the end of the year or four, you're in good shape. It doesn't matter to me that the five team gets left out that could have been the four team. I'm talking about legitimate national title teams. Now, as far as the Big Ten saying they want to have conference champions, that's the last thing we need is a 3- or 4-loss team getting in there because they're a conference champion. I think you got to keep it 1-4, 2-3, and let the winners play off. You only had one game. Keep the regular season intact and keep the bowls intact.
Phil Still joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. Let me ask you about the additions this year. I got into a pretty serious debate with a guy who turns his nose up at Missouri and the addition of them. And when I look at football and basketball, the big two, I mean, I think Missouri's a nice addition. Same, I would say the same for A&M, and then you throw in the baseball in addition to that for A&M, which I know you're focused on football. But what's your take on the addition of Missouri and A&M into the SEC, and how do you think they're going to fare in their first outing?
I think both teams bring a lot to the table. You look at Texas A&M, they're a team that last year could easily have been an 11-1 team. They blew so many double-digit leads, it was ridiculous. They actually had a double-digit lead in every single game last year except one. So they're a team that could easily have been 11-1, been playing in a major bowl game. And, of course, Texas A&M's program finally coming up, they had that little downturn there. But this is a program that had been on an elite level before, and I think Gary Pinkel's doing a good job at Missouri as well. Now, how are they going to fare in their first year at the SEC? There's a step up in level of competition, even from the Big 12. And I think that playing these teams on a weekly basis, playing those defenses, it's going to be tougher. I've got both picked lower in their divisions. I've got Missouri picked for a tie for fifth in the East. I've got Texas A&M picked for sixth in the West. Of course, the West is the toughest division in all of college football by far. It'll be interesting to see how they fare. And to me, the most intriguing thing that comes in is Texas A&M's offensive line. Here's an offensive line that opened up holes for 5.1 YPC rushing. They only allowed 9 sacks last year. Basically, the line returns intact. It's one of the best offensive lines in the country. That was against Big 12 defenses. Now let's see how they fare with a steady dose of SEC defenses. If they keep the numbers the same it was last year, that really would be proof in the pudding that the Big 12 is right up there, but I don't think they'll be able to do it.
Phil, people have been freaking out about two things here in Arkansas of late. One is the fact that they replaced Coke with Pepsi in Fayetteville for games at the stadium, and that has been a big, big, big issue for some people. And then the other thing is the discussion that there's a rumor going around, and it was confirmed from a basketball standpoint, that Missouri is going to replace LSU as Arkansas's rival. If you play Missouri and LSU, and you play Missouri at the end of the season versus LSU at the end of the season, but you still play them both, how much do you think that impacts Arkansas's perception nationally? And let's just say they win both games. Does it matter if you go 11-1 and beat Missouri in the last game, or if you go 11-1 and you beat LSU in the last game, do you think, to the voters and the people who are following football?
No, the 11 is the important number. If you get to 11 wins, people will notice you. And really what you do on the field is the big thing. It's not so much the opponent. So I don't think it would make a difference at all.
Okay, well, that's good. See, we can quit freaking out about that. Yeah, I mean, and the Missouri thing, too, people sort of turn their nose up at them. But I look back over the last 10 years, they're averaging just over 8 wins a year. They've had, I think they're about 500 over the last 10 years, and they've been to 8 bowl games in the last 10 years, including a dominating performance over Arkansas in a Cotton Bowl where Arkansas had made a coaching transition. So
you'd like to forget about that?
Yes, I would. But what about the coaches? What do you think of Pinkel, and then I guess someone will be in his first year at A&M?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Sumlin fares. I think he did a very good job at Houston last year. Had enough confidence in Sumlin that called Houston my number one most improved team in the country in the magazine, and he delivered. Houston very nearly was playing in a BCS bowl game last year. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to, you know, as far as Sumlin goes, he's a new coach. He's going to bring in new systems on offense and defense. Got to learn the player's strengths and weaknesses. Generally, there's a learning curve in that first year. Now, as far as Pinkel goes, he's a guy that came over from the MAC conference many years ago from Toledo, and he's been at Missouri for 11 years. This will be his 12th year this year. A little bit of a slow start, but in the last 5 years, he's had 3 double-digit win seasons. And you go back to that 2007 season when they plastered Arkansas 38-7. That's a season that Missouri had a legitimate shot at playing in a BCS bowl game. Remember, they beat number 2 Kansas at the end of the year, had the same record as Kansas at the end of the year, but Kansas got the call over them to go to a BCS bowl. So I think Missouri was a little determined that particular year.
Tyler Wilson will get a lot of pub, and deservedly so, after the season he had last year. Where do you have him in the quarterback list as far as college quarterbacks this year?
I've got him number 2 for the NFL, but I've got him third-team All-American. I think when you look at Tyler Wilson, the one thing that intrigued me with him last year is he didn't get great protection from the offensive line. There was a lot of plays, and you know it may not necessarily been a sack. He only had 28 sacks last year, and when you throw the football as many times as they did last season, 471 times, that's not a bad number, but he got hit an awful lot. But the thing that I was impressed with was that Tyler kept getting up off the turf and coming right back for the next play and didn't miss that any action and had a really good season. So I think with an improved offensive line, which I expect Arkansas will have this year, with a Nile Davis in the backfield, who defensive coordinators really have to pay attention to. They cannot focus on just getting the attention on Wilson. They've got to make sure they contain Nile Davis. I think Tyler Wilson's going to have an outstanding season this year.
Former SEC coach Urban Meyer, now at Ohio State, and he's already had a couple kids get in trouble, which is typical for Ohio State and also typical for Urban Meyer coach teams. How instant will the impact be for him, do you think, up there?
Oh, he steps into a perfect situation. Here's an Ohio State team that had won 6 straight Big Ten titles because it's coming off a losing season. No matter what he does, he's going to be an improvement over last year. But I think when you look at the talent Ohio State has, they've got 9 starters back from a defense that was top-notch last year. It was a top-20 defense. I rate him the number 7 defense in the country. Offensively, he inherits Braxton Miller at the quarterback spot. Now, Braxton Miller's the perfect fit for his offense. He's a mobile quarterback that can pass the ball. There were games last year that Braxton Miller just wasn't allowed to throw. You look at the Illinois game where Ohio State won, they only threw four passes all game. Braxton Miller will be able to throw in the Urban Meyer offense. He is a good fit and looked like it in the spring. They're solid on all the areas across, and when you look at their schedule this year, there's only two games I have an underdog in all season. One of them's at Michigan State. I'm a slight underdog, and the same thing with at Wisconsin late in the year. So a double-digit win season, a distinct possibility for Urban Meyer, even though they don't have a chance at playing in a Big Ten title game or a bowl. I think it'll be a much more exciting Ohio State team this year and a great situation for him.
Phil Still joining us on the Revolution Hotline. It sounds like you have Alabama winning the SEC. Is there any other teams out there we've kind of looked at, maybe USC having a chance to play for a BCS title? What are maybe a couple of the teams that you can see having a chance to play for BCS championship?
Well, you know, Alabama and LSU, I think the winner of that game has it as very good shot at playing in the national championship game. Alabama, there's only one game all season I have an underdog, and it's that game at LSU because of the fact that LSU is a little bit better than last year's team, Alabama not quite as good as last year's team, and they have to play that one on the road. But when you look at Alabama, they're still the complete team, and everybody saw the drop-off 2 years ago from 2010 when they lost three games. Well, that team only had two returning starters on defense. They played a brutal schedule. Six of their opponents had byes the week before them. This year, five returning starters. In fact, I rate them the number three defense. And about the only team that has a bye the week before Alabama happens to be LSU. So LSU gets a great situation there. And the reason I didn't pick LSU to play in the national title game this year is their schedule. I think when you look at their road schedule this year playing Auburn, and it's a much improved Auburn team over last year's version. They go from six returning starters to 16. Florida, a much improved Florida team in the swamp. They have to play Arkansas on the road, and as mentioned, if you follow the series, you know that that one's usually a wild one. And then Texas A&M. This is a Texas A&M team that could have been 11-1 last year. They have to play them on the road. I think they slip up just somewhere along the way. I've got Alabama and LSU tied for first in the West, each with one loss, and I think that loss may keep them out of the national title game. Your other main contenders from across the country, USC and Oregon out of the Pac-12. But what eliminated them from my national title game this year is the fact that they probably have to play each other twice. And I can't see beating either of those two teams twice during the course of a year. You know, Oregon has to travel to face USC during the season, face them again in the postseason. And with USC, they'll be the preseason number one team in the AP, it looks like. But the shaky part of them is depth. I think they're top 11 on offense, top 11 in defense, are the best in the country. Their depth is hurting from those scholarship reductions they had a couple years ago. And I think if they get a few injuries, they could lose a game or two during a year. I think my pick this year for number one, I went with Florida State, a little bit out of the box.
Wow.
But when you look at Florida State, they've got one thing going for them that Alabama had going for them last year, and that's the best defense in the country. In fact, if you analyze this Florida State defensive line, I'll take their third-team defensive line and call it a top 25 unit. Jeez. The second-team defensive line is a top 10 unit, and overall, they've got the best defensive line in the country. They can rotate these guys all season long. The last 2 years, they've had 88 sacks, and they're even stronger this year. Offensively, E.J. Manuel missed time in three of their four losses last year. I think he'll be back and healthy. The offensive line should be vastly improved. Remember, in the bowl game, they started three freshmen up front because of injuries. Well, they've got the experience from those freshmen, the injured players back, and they bring in a couple of top-notch JUCOs, who I rate number 11 and number 30. I think they'll have a much improved offensive line that faces the best defensive line in practice every day. So when they get on the field on Saturdays, the defensive lines they're facing are actually weaker than what they face in practice. I think Florida State's got less landmines in the schedule than an SEC team, and or Oregon and USC, and I've got Florida State actually getting to and winning the national title.
Phil, we were up against it. We appreciate you so much. Check out the college football preview and visit the website, philsteel.com, and I'd love to get you on again maybe before we start the season.
Sounds good. A lot of fun talking football with you guys.
No doubt. Phil, thanks so much, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.